Let's talk about it with Jordan Pendleton from Pendleton Performance. He's helping his athletes outperform their opponents on the field. Jordan, how you living?
Doing good, man. How you doing, Ben?
Doing great. Well, before we get to that Stuart Mandel article, you just tweeted out that you are fed up, Jordan. We got to know why. What's going down in the performance world right now?
I'm just frustrated, man. For the third week in a row, I've had one of my kids come in and they can't train anymore because they're out for the season. I had a kid today come in with his dad. He just tore his ACL at football. I had a kid last week who, is 16 years old. Their coach had him maxing out on squats. He hurt his back. I mean, 16 years old is too young to be hurting our back on squats. I had a kid the week before pull his groin, and I asked him why, and he said, well, we had sprints in the morning. I said, did they warm you up? He said, no, we just started sprinting. So I'm just getting to the point where I'm just fed up, and I just want to call out every single high school program. I'm not saying every program out there is garbage, but I'm tired of seeing English teachers and math teachers run these programs during the summer. They're doing too much. At what point are we going to educate ourselves and help these kids out versus just running them into the ground? My kids have 6 a.m. workouts at their high school. And then they're going right from 6 a.m. workouts, and they're doing sprints, they're doing, position work, and then they have to come back late at night at 6 p.m. and do 7-on-7. I mean, games don't start for another 2 months. Like, the sport specificity is awesome, but can we wait until the season approaches a little bit closer? These coaches are running these kids into the ground, and it's just really, it's starting to bug me.
Is this just an overtraining thing, Jordan? Are you just saying that kids are not letting, or parents aren't letting kids be kids, coaches aren't letting kids be kids, and they're just overtraining? Sounds like we lost him. We'll get him back on. I can understand his frustration. Look, I've seen that. Where the thing that jumped out to me, I don't think a 16-year-old needs to be maxing out on squats. I don't know what happened with the ACL tear. I don't know what really happened with the groin pull. But it is hard because you only have so much money to pay to these coaches that give so much of their time and they're trying their best. And that's part of that educating process. So I understand Jordan's frustration with that, but there's no excuse for a 16-year-old kid to be maxing out on squats and he ends up hurting his back. Jordan, you're back with us. So tell me,
I'm back. Yep.
Tell me, what is this just a product of just overtraining? Are you frustrated that parents aren't letting their kids just be kids? Are you frustrated that the coaches aren't letting the kids be kids and they're just focusing too much on just one sport? What's going on?
No, I think what it is a mixture of a couple things. It's a mixture of, first of all, it's a mixture of high school coaches. I'm not saying they're bad coaches. They might be good coaches at coaching football, but we got a bunch of math teachers, they might teach history, but they might, help out with the football team. And you got guys in there running these programs, these strength and conditioning programs, who don't know anything about training or anything about the science behind training.
So how can they change that, Jordan?
I don't know what it is. And I look at teams in Texas, high school teams in Texas, they have full-blown strength and conditioning coaches at their high school teams. And I know it's better, that's better out there. I don't know how they can change it. I think, Ben, when we played at BYU, we had that day where all the high school coaches come down and they study in the film rooms with, you know what I mean? When they all come mm-hmm. down and study, they watch the coaches in the film room and they learn football. How come there's not any of that for the other aspect of training or the other aspect of football, which is strength and conditioning, which we spend 80% of the year with the strength and conditioning coach? I mean, we're really only with the position coaches for 20% of the year. So how come there's no education for coaches to go down and learn that aspect of it? Because the whole entire year, they're doing that stuff, and then we really only get to play football for 3 months. So I'm just tired of it, man. I want to make a change somehow. I wish there was more education for that aspect of football. because it plays such an important role. You know, these kids, this kid I've been training for over a year, I mean, he's starting receiver, he's starting outside linebacker. He just lost his, he can't play anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, he's done for the season, and he's, and it's something that could be prevented. And so, you know, I think somewhere there's got to be a change. I think we're getting better. I think high school is becoming more and more like college. It's getting more, you know, every team is getting turf fields now and better fields and better equipment and better coaches. But for some reason, that aspect of it is still just, it's just poor, and it's just driving me nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, you mentioned these are teachers, right, that the schools don't have enough money to spend on a guy that is specialized in strength and conditioning, right? And they're giving of their time, their services. You know, they want to give back to these young men, but maybe they just don't know how.
Yeah, and not only that, I think a lot of it is an egotistic thing, too. I think they don't care how. They just care, like, they're going to make these kids come in. I had a kid tell me his coach put him through 10 sets of 10 reps on squat, all above 80% of their one rep max. Just to give you an idea, that is 100 squats at over 80% of their one rep max. And then afterwards go do sprints, you know? And I mean, it's just, it's an egotistic thing. It's not even a, here, I'm here to help the kids. It's almost like I'm the coach. I have all this power and I'm going to just run these kids into the ground. And it's almost like, you know, they're just trying to make the workout hard or to look cool or to, you know, be like, oh, you know, this coach is so tough. His workout's so
it's
tough.
Masculinity it's really, type of thing.
Yeah, it's just stupid. It's just, that's all there is to it. It's stupid.
I agree. You know, there's issues with that, I think, everywhere. But the more education, the better. And I think here at ESPN 960, we'd be happy to support you and giving back to the community, going back, going and having a, some sort of a clinic to teach coaches. You know, I think that would be a wise decision. You know, I'm just talking out loud here. Pendleton Performance, yeah. Let's put on a clinic for high school coaches to come in and learn more about strength and conditioning, how to run certain facets of their program better to protect the kids, make them better athletes, and you know, make them work hard, but at the same time work smart.
I'm with you, Ben. That sounds awesome, man.
So we were talking about BYU and Independence. Yeah. You know, you were part of BYU during the kind of the transition period from the Mountain West Conference to Independence. As you evaluate it, do you think that, in Stuart Mandel's words, it's largely backfired on BYU, or do you think that they are a healthier program by going independent?
You know what, dude, it's kind of a, I kind of have mixed feelings towards it. So my senior year was the first year we went independent. And having been in the conference my first, you know, 4 years at BYU and then going to independent, that was a, I'm not going to lie, I was excited. It was a huge bonus for myself and the team, because we went from, you know, having maybe 1-2 games that were nationally televised. You know, the rest were on, like, either the Mountain West Channel or BYU TV. Nothing wrong with those channels, but now we're sitting here playing on ESPN, and not only playing on ESPN, but we're playing against, you know, Florida State and some of these, with Christian Ponder and some of these big-time schools. So for me as a competitor, I would much rather play against Christian Ponder or Jake Locker on nationally televised ESPN where the whole world's watching, then play against Wyoming on the Mountain West Conference Channel. And, you know, if I win, I'm going to get a ring at the end of the season, you know, and that's fine. Like, you know, I think being in a conference has its benefits, because you if you lose a game, you have something to play for. But me, I don't care about the ring as much as I care about, I want to play against the best competition in the world. I want to play on nationally televised. I want to play on the biggest setting there is. I want everybody watching. So if I screw up, it's in front of the whole world. But that's just my mentality. Maybe some people are different. And I think the one problem with the whole independent thing is, which is tough for BYU, is one, our schedule has gotten so much harder. Two, you know, the recruiting, you know, challenges that we have at BYU. Yes, we do get good athletes. We have Taysom Hill. We have Jamal. Okay, that's fine. But aside from that, we're not able to get as many athletes as these other schools are getting. So when we're going up against these other teams, yeah, we can win a few, but when they're constantly on our schedule, we're not going to have the greatest record. We're not going to go 11-2 like we used to do every year when we were in the Mountain West Conference. So with BYU standards, we automatically have an unsuccessful season if we go 10-4 or 8-4. That's unsuccessful for BYU standards. But is 11-2 more successful when we're playing Idaho State and Wyoming and some of these teams? I don't know. It all depends on perspective. And so I think the one challenge with being independent is we don't have a conference. So say, Ben, we lose. Our only hope is to go undefeated and get in a BCS game, or else we're just going to play in the bowl game we've already, you know, committed to if we win a certain amount of games. So what's happening is we could have a perfect season like last year, start out 6-0. Now we lose to Utah State. Now it's like, what are we playing for? We don't have a conference to play for. We can't go to a BCS game. And I think that's kind of the hiccup that is causing the concern of not being in a conference. And that's it. Aside from that, I could care less about the ring if the next game I'm playing against, you know, Wisconsin at Wisconsin. I would much rather do that than, oh, well, we still can win the conference, but, you know, we're playing Colorado and, you know what I mean? You get what I'm saying. So yeah. I think, you know, it all just depends on how people view it. And it's tough because BYU is held to such high standards that if we lose four games, that's considered unsuccessful, even if it is against tougher opponents.
Jordan Pendleton from Pendleton Performance on with us here at Cougar Sports ESPN 960. That being said, you know, for me, I like independence because of the reasons that you mentioned as a competitor, being able to play. I don't really care about the ring at the end of the day. I want to be able to knock off a giant. And I think most athletes would like that if they have any strand of competitive fiber in them, right? My biggest issue when it comes to either it's conference affiliation, scheduling, everything like that is, or maybe not my biggest issue, but the focus that I would like BYU to have on is just developing a student athlete, okay? Or an athlete student, whatever you want to call it. Because athlete student. Because honestly, I think if you put in a guy like Frank Wintrick, and if he is the bee's knees, if he is the real deal, if he develops a young athlete student into a phenomenal football player, then I think everything else takes care of itself. Honestly, that hire alone, in my opinion, is the second most important hire behind Bronco Mendenhall. The question is, will Frank Wintrick be able to develop that athlete student like we need him to?
Yeah, and I think you will. I think, honestly, this has been, I mean, I wish I was still playing, because had I had someone like Frank there, I mean, it would have changed everything. And I think BYU is heading in the right direction. Now, at the end of the day, that doesn't mean our schedule isn't tough. And so, yeah, we might develop athletes better, and we're on the right track that way. We're going to keep guys healthy. We're going to be more explosive. You're going to see guys make a change from a performance standpoint. At the end of the day, we still got to go out and play tough, really tough teams. And so, you know, it just goes back to, do you want to play a tough team and maybe lose? Or do you want to have a weaker schedule and win a conference and go about it that way? And it's kind of pick and choose. And like I said, I would rather play on the biggest stage in the biggest game than play against weaker opponents and win. So that's just how I see it. And everybody has a different opinion. It's a tough choice.
Have you looked at the schedule this next year, Jordan? Those first four games, Nebraska, Michigan, Boise State, UCLA.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm going out to the Michigan game, and I grew up a Michigan fan, so playing in the Big House was a dream of mine. I mean, you're playing in the Big House in front of 100,000. That is a dream of mine. So I'm extremely jealous. And if BYU is not independent, none of these guys get that opportunity. And I would much rather have the opportunity to go play in the Rose Bowl against UCLA, go play at the Big House against Michigan. I mean, Boise State, I never got to play any of those teams. So to be able to experience that, win, lose, or draw, I would much rather look back and tell my kids, hey, I played in the Big House against so-and-so, and we almost beat them. You know, it went into overtime versus, you know, all I got on my resume is beating Idaho State 50-0. You know, I mean, it's I'm going out to that game. I'm going to be there. I might be wearing a little bit of yellow just because I grew up, you know, a Michigan fan. But
that's fine.
I'll be there supporting the Cougars as well. But to me, that's more exciting than going 11-2, going, you know, 12-1 every year. That's big time, man, going and playing in the Big House, win, lose, or draw. So that's an exciting first four games for sure.
What does the outside linebacker position look like this year, in your opinion? What did you think of Sione Takitaki, Fred Warner, some of these young aspiring athlete students that, you know, looked pretty good, looked promising? How will they do this year?
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with it. That just tells me I'm getting really old, that I'm not really familiar with these kids. The one kid I did watch a little bit was Fred Warner. And from what I've never seen him in person, but from what I've heard, he's a little bit of a specimen. I was able to watch him against, I think it was Boise State last year, make that interception for a touchdown. And that's big time, man, to get in as a true freshman and make a play like that. You know, I think he can be something really special. You know, but like I said, I mean, they're going to be young, and, you know, they might be great playmakers, but there's going to be a huge learning curve throughout the whole course of a game, and, you know, playing 80, 90 plays with how fast and nice offense is. They got to be willing to play 80 to 90 games to play, and, you know, now can they be consistent? And consistency is the most important thing. You know, they might be athletic. You know, Fred Warner's a stud, whatever, but can you do it for 90 games? Or I'm sorry, 90 games. Wow, that would be like a
90 plays.
High school. That'd be like a high school training atmosphere right there. 90 plays per game, and the consistency is going to matter. And you know as well as I do, Ben, and Coach Mendenhall's defense, it's all about consistency. Ben, don't break type defense, holding them to field goals, creating turnovers, and three and outs, and turnover on downs, and that's going to be huge. So, but I'm excited, man. I think it'll be a good year.
When you were an outside linebacker, young outside linebacker at that, getting repetitions in games and practices, what was the most difficult thing for you? What would you tell a guy like Fred Warner, Sione Takitaki, you know, Sai Tautu, in order for them to kind of step up their game and be able to be consistent? What would you tell them and advise them to do?
I would tell him to get in the film room, man, because, you know, as athletic as I was and the playmaking ability that I had, when I got in those game situations my sophomore year, my consistency was not there. And it took me a while to fully grasp what my responsibility was, play in and play out. Yeah, I made some plays, but what was I doing on the plays that I didn't make? Was I helping – you know, was I helping the cat make the play, or was I helping the field corner make his play? So just get in that film room and study, because you can be as athletic as you want. You can jump up and catch interceptions and run back for touchdowns, but what are you doing on a daily, on a game basis, on every single play that's thrown at you? And the biggest thing for me was how big the offensive linemen were, and you know, with outside linebacker position, yeah, we have to play coverage, but we have to do everything. It's kind of a defensive end. It's kind of a strong safety hybrid position where we have to do everything. So you not only have to be on point in coverage, but we have to be on point down playing the run, rushing the passer, just everything. And so there's so many things over the course of the year that they're going to have to just, you know, pick up on quicker, because like I said, the inexperience is there, and so they're going to have to learn faster than most.
We've been debating this I think yesterday, and I've been debating it with some of the other former BYU football players just via text. Jordan, I got to ask you this question. In the Bronco Mendenhall era, you know, 2005 to present day, best offensive football player and then best defensive football player outside of yourself?
Whew. Man, that's a good question. You said 2005 till now?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Do you want me to give you my top five, and then you can kind of, you know, you can pick and choose if you like it or not?
Yeah, I mean, I got some people brewing up, but go ahead.
Okay, so my top five for the offensive side of the ball. And I talked about Curtis Brown yesterday just for argument's sake. I didn't necessarily, you know, mean that completely, but I do like Curtis Brown. He was kind of a hybrid. Well, he was in the Gary Croton era as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Curtis was a stud, man.
I got Harvey, Max Hall, Dennis Pitta, Austin, and then Cody Hoffman. Those are my guys for the best offensive players. Defensive?
No question.
I have Kyle Van Noy as my number one, okay? Just because he scored so many touchdowns defensively. My number two guy, I want to get your opinion on this, is actually Andrew Rich. I like Andrew Rich. I like Andrew Rich. I also like, you know, Cameron Jensen, Brian Keel, Jan Jorgensen, and yourself. So that's kind of like what – those were my guys – as far as the best defensive players. Now tell me, out of those, am I on point here? Can you pick one of those on the offense and one on the defense?
Yeah, absolutely. So on offense, and this is not a biased opinion at all, I was going to go with my brother-in-law, Austin Colley. Not just because he's my brother-in-law, but because I was there when he was there. It's kind of a toss-up between him and Dennis Pitta, because I had the pleasure of going against Dennis Pitta every single day in practice. He was a tight end. I was an outside linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
You look at how successful Cody Hoffman was, and he was a great, great player at BYU, and he's going to own the record and all that, but Austin only played 3 years. Had he had another year, his records would never be touched, in my opinion.
Untouchable, yeah.
Absolutely untouchable. So you can sit here and say, you know, Cody Hoffman is awesome. I mean, his height and the ability to go up and get the ball. But what Austin did, especially coming off a mission too, and then only having 2 years to write off his mission, you know, Austin is obviously up there and always will be. But Dennis, man, he was so underrated. I mean, it was just his ability to use his body and his hands, you know, he never drops anything, and he was deceptively quick and fast. Dennis was awesome, man. So those would be my top two. On defense, I think you're right, man. I mean, it pains me to say this, because I would line up against Kyle right now and put him on his back, and you could tell him that. And I did plenty of practices, I promise. Kyle, if you're listening, you remember when you were my dummy, and I would put you on your back. But you have to go with Kyle just because of how many plays he made. I mean, he had so many interceptions, had so many touchdowns. Not only that, on special teams, how many blocked punts, how many, you know, he's just a big time playmaker. And so you, based off of statistics and his career and some of the plays he made, you'd have to throw Kyle in there. And I'm right with you with Andrew Rich, man. Andrew Rich was probably one of the most underrated players at BYU, in my opinion. I think he could still be playing in the league if he wanted to. You know, but obviously it wasn't for him, and Andrew was a stud, man. So yeah, those are my two.
Love it, man. We'll continue to talk about this. We need to all get together and we can banter about the top five, because we had a phenomenal conversation going on. We need to include you in on that. If someone didn't have an Android phone within this group text, then we'd be able to add more people to it. But someone's got an Android phone, so we apologize.
Oh man.
But maybe we'll start up a new one. So Jordan, appreciate you hopping on with us.
Yep, no problem, man.
All right, talk to you soon.
Okay, you too.
Jordan Pendleton from Pendleton for Performance.